I would invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, and we're going to start at the beginning there in verse 1. It's been a true blessing to be able to minister up at Eastside Baptist, but I have truly missed being here. I know my family has as well. And just as they are beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, you're my family and my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And I still have my membership. I can prove that. I double-checked that when I got here. Let's read our text this morning from Genesis 15, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 17. There's going to be a lot of scripture this morning. The word of our Lord says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possession. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer for guidance of this scripture. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time that we get to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and worship you. I pray that you would guide us with your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would enlighten your word for us, that we would not only understand it, but we can apply it, that it's your word that gives us comfort and encouragement. We thank you for all of this, and I pray that all that we do it for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen. So I've come to love this passage of Scripture. It is one of the most crucial passages in all of Scripture that God has given us, showing his history of salvation. This is the covenant that God makes with Abraham. Now, if you're thinking this sermon is focused on Abraham and about Abraham, well, Abraham's a big part of it, but this is about Jesus. God shows us Jesus in this text. But this is a covenant, and I want to talk about that for just a brief moment. give you an illustration because this is what God is doing with Abraham, and I want to put it in more modern terms for us. It's like a contract. It's like buying a home or renting a home. You go in and the bank is agreeing to say, okay, we're going to give X amount of dollars, but you're going to agree to pay X amount of dollars every month. It's a binding contract. And there's a signature process to that. We know the signature process. If you've ever signed a mortgage, it takes forever, and there's probably 1,000 documents to sign. So I will, as we go through this, you'll be thankful for that because they didn't have that almost 4,000 years ago. But that's essentially what this is. God is setting up a suzerain vassal treaty. And there's history involved in this. But there's three things we're really going to look at here. What was Abraham's faith? God's promises to Abraham. And then God's fulfillment of his promises through Jesus, both for Abraham and for us. So let's go back to verse 1-3. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham asks a question. Sounds a little confused here, doesn't he? He's also a little concerned about the future. A concern of the future is anxiety. What does Jesus tell us about anxiety? Don't fear what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Your heavenly Father, he feeds the birds of the airs, clothes the lilies of the field. And how much more worth are you? But Abraham is questioning. It's okay to question when we're confused, because God does provide the answers to those questions. I've asked questions like that. We all have. Lord, how long am I going to have to suffer financially? You promised to take care of me. How long am I going to have to mourn for the person that I lost, that I loved? It's a tough one. Even David had these. If you read Psalm 13, 4 times, King David says, how long, how long, how long, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Abraham's questioning. It's okay to question. But also Abraham's statement here to that question, it's the statement that he makes based on this question. Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Waiting on the Lord. Because we know the story of this. We know the finished story. We even know the name of Abraham's heir. His name was Isaac. So we know this, but in this moment, Abraham didn't. So he had to wait on the Lord. But the wonderful thing, as we move on to verse 4-5, the Lord answers him. The Lord gives him what he's promising him. Verse 4 says, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. So God's telling Abraham what he's going to do. He's about to show him what he's going to do as well. Verse 5, and he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God tells Abraham, God shows Abraham. Now the question I want to ask, who is Abraham's offspring? I'm not going to answer that. We're going to let Scripture answer that. Put a ribbon in Genesis 15 and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. (Clears throat) This is what God tells us who Abraham's offsprings are, the stars in the sky. Starting in verse 26, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if," here it is, "if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Beloved brothers and sisters, if you have put your faith in Christ and repented of your sins this morning, you are the stars in the sky promised to Abraham. You are that promise, and it's fulfilled in Jesus. And that's why we call each other brothers and sisters, heirs to the promise. So the promises that are made to Abraham here, we have those same promises. I said we would talk about Abraham's faith. Abraham's listed in Hebrews 11, which is the Hall of Fame all-star list of people of faith. In Jesus, you possess that same faith. That faith was given to Abraham by God. And I know it's a side note, but I have to say it. What was Abraham's faith in? What was his saving faith? It's no different than our saving faith. Abraham's saving faith was in a coming Messiah. Our saving faith is in a risen Messiah. Newsflash, same Messiah. Jesus Christ, same Messiah. That's how all the Old Testament saints were saved. They were not saved by works. This has never been a works-based faith. This has always been Christ-based faith. They believed in a Messiah to come, and that was their saving faith. But that is who Abraham's offspring is. We are. That's beautiful. Let's go back to Genesis 15 and continue on in verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. So now God has shown Abraham what he's going to do. He's told him what he's going to do. He's given him these promises. Verse 6 says, "And he believed the Lord, and it counted to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." So now God's proving he's going to do what he's going to do by showing him what he already has done. And we have all this today. We see exactly what God has done in all of these promises that haven't happened with Abraham, but we know them to be true. God helps us with our faith in that regard. We look at salvation history and we see what God has provided. He does the same thing with Abraham. "This is what I did. I brought you out of the land of Ur. And oh, by the way, I'm going to give you land to possess." Now, let's get to the meat of this text. And I'm going to try and explain this properly so that we can understand it. Because again, Abraham questions in verse 8, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" So again, he's asking God, how's this going to work? And God shows him. And that's what we're about to look at. But this is the beautiful part of this. He not only shows him what he's going to do right then and there, but he shows us what he's going to do for us with Jesus in salvation history. Let's go to verse 9. "He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So then Abraham brings these, cuts them in half, lays each other over against each other, and he didn't cut the birds." So the first time I read this, I'm going, what is going on with mutilated animals? And if you're asking yourself that question, that's okay. Good question. We have to look at history with this. So again, I told you about our contract, you know, buying a home. You're under a contract. The bank, much bigger, a lot more money than me. They say, I'm going to give you this money. Hey, you pay this monthly. Well, at this time in history, it was the first Babylonian Empire that was the world superpower. And the Hammurabi came up with this brilliant idea that when they would conquer a lesser kingdom, they wouldn't just wipe out that kingdom or even govern that kingdom themselves. What they would do is the greater kingdom would conquer the lesser kingdom, and they would make a treaty with the lesser king. It's called a suzerain vassal treaty. So the greater king would say to the lesser king, you can govern yourselves. However, you're mine. If I need your military aid and I call on you, you're going to provide military aid. In turn, if another kingdom attacks you as the lesser kingdom, I'm going to come to your aid. So that was the suzerain vassal treaty. It's the signature process of the suzerain vassal treaty that's important here. Because their signature process, they didn't have printer and ink and pen. They had animals. The way it would work is when the suzerain king would come to an agreement with a vassal king, they would take an animal, typically a goat, a cow, a ram. They would cut that animal in two parts and they would split it. And then the suzerain king and the vassal king would hold hands and walk through those animal parts. And they would say something to the effect of, if I break my end of this treaty, let me become like these animal parts. That was their signature process. That's what God is doing with Abraham here. And Abraham knows it. Notice that God says, gather the animals. He doesn't tell Abram what to do with the animals. Abraham automatically does that because he knows, being in this period of time, how a suzerain vassal treaty looks and what the signature process of that is. But there's something truly amazing that's going to happen with this. Because remember, the vassal king has to answer and provide himself to the greater king, and if he fails to do so, it means certain death. So is the case here between God and Abram. Now, there's more promises here that we see that we know come to pass, but Abraham doesn't yet. But again, this is a wonderful lesson for us that when God says he's going to do something, God does it. God doesn't fail. He fulfills. He provides. And as Dr. Drushi says, all of God's promises find their yes in Jesus. And we're getting there. So as we move through this, and we see the promises that we know in the very next book of the Bible, Exodus, that God's people are going to be 400 years slaves of the Egyptian Empire. And then what happens? God tells Abraham right here, and we know it, they're going to come out. And they're going to come out with great possession. They did. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then we get to Joshua, we see them re-entering the land that God had promised Abraham. So we can see these promises being fulfilled over and over and over again. We have a time frame, God does not. He's going to fulfill his promises in his time. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. As we move through that, moving to the end of this, let's just go right to verse 17. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. So again, big question mark for me when I first read this. But when you know the signature process of the suzerain vassal treaty in this, that is God. He put Abram to sleep, and he himself God himself did not have Abraham walk through those animal pieces. God did it himself. Why? Because if Abraham walked through those animal pieces, he deserved to die right then and there. What does God require? If we're talking about works, he requires perfection. What does he tell us about our perfection? We don't have it. None of us do. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have. God put Abraham to sleep, so Abraham didn't have to walk through those animal parts. And God himself walked through those animal parts. What is God saying to Abraham there is, not only am I going to be your suzerain king, but when you fall, when you fail, when you rebel, I'm going to bear the penalty for your rebellion. I'm going to bear the penalty for your sin. That's where we tie this into Jesus. Because who did God provide for us, for our sins, for our rebellion? He provided us, Jesus. Jesus bore the penalty of death for us. And it's right here, God promising to Abraham, and we're a part of that promise. We're heirs to this promise, as Paul says in Galatians 3. The stars in the sky promised to Abraham. That's how we move to Jesus on this. That's how we view this, through the light and lens of Jesus. Because that's the promise given to us throughout all of salvation history. Again, our faith is the same faith as Abraham. Faith in God's only begotten Son, Jesus. We don't have to have good works. We don't have to struggle in our own faith. Is my faith strong enough? What does Hebrews say about faith? Jesus is the founder and finisher of our faith. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. And it's the same faith Abraham had. And I want us to look real quick as I'm going to start landing the plane here. It might be a slow landing, but I'm going to start there. But if you would, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, because I want us to look at what Jesus has to say about Abraham and his faith and what his ultimate plan was. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 56, so 56, 57, and 58. This is what Jesus is recorded as saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you're not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. There's so much to this statement here. Jesus is saying, I was there before. This is our pre-existent Christ from the very beginning, the foundation of the world, there at the beginning. And as we see with God walking through those animal parts alone, it could only be God that could atone for our sins. It could only be him. Jesus had to be God, and he tells it to everybody right there. I am. Before Abraham, he was and is to come. It's a strong statement, but it also tells us of Abraham's faith. He says, he saw my day and was glad of it. It's just two ends of the time spectrum here. Abraham approximately 2,000 years before Christ. We're over here on the other side of the cross, 2,000 years? Past the risen Christ. Same Christ, same God, same promises. And that's where we find our comfort. You don't have to work at this. Your salvation is guaranteed by Jesus. We do work because of that. What's the saying? We're saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. But we're saved by faith alone in Christ. If you're here this morning and you have not put your faith in Jesus for your salvation, and you have not repented of your sins, I hope you can see God's promise here. Because if you right here, right now, put your faith in Jesus for your salvation and repent of your sins, you become a part of every promise God has given. And that's to atone for your sins, eternal life in his kingdom, sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you have done that, then find peace and comfort and encouragement in what God has already accomplished, what he will accomplish. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about who the next president of the United States is going to be. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and on his throne, his kingdom and his throne are eternal. Become a part of the eternal promises of God. I beg you. But lean on that. Lean on that. Find peace and comfort in that. Study God's promises if you can memorize them. But the one I've been leaning on lately is be strong and very courageous. It is the Lord your God that goes before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's already fulfilled in Jesus. But know God's promises, because there's always those moments in our life that we feel abandoned, that we feel alone, that we feel like our faith just isn't strong enough to do the job. And that's the great news. It doesn't have to be. It's God's faith he's given us. It's what he has gifted us and provided us. This is eternal comfort. This is eternal encouragement. God's word is eternal. It's not just for all time. It's eternal. It doesn't just apply to what was happening to Abraham then, or for us to look at just some moral goodness. How should I act this week because I heard this message? This is not just a lifelong process. This is an eternal process. God's promises run deep. God's grace runs deep. And God's faith that he's given us is sufficient, and it runs deep. And you have possession of it. That's beautiful. So I'll close with these two things. Look to God's promises, fulfilled in Jesus, to know you belong to him and you have those same promises. Again, example of that. He will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter how alone you feel, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how bad your financial situation could be, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And the last thing, when in doubt, go to Scripture, read God's promises, if you can memorize them. They're really not that long. Find the one that fits you and what you're going through right now, and know you have possession of that promise. Again, you are one of those stars promised to Abraham by a holy, perfect God, fulfilled in Jesus and kept by the Holy Spirit. And again, if you have questions and you don't know, I'll take all the time I can today, all that you need. It's the greatest honor I can have is sharing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. This is all I've got. I don't have a great story, but God does. His story is amazing, just like his grace is amazing grace. But if you have questions, because you don't know the full and true gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I will take as much time as needed to talk to you, to answer questions. And I love this church because if you don't want to talk to me, grab the first person you see, because they'll talk to you too, I promise you that. That's what we do here. We're a covenant community in Christ Jesus. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all your promises, especially the promise of your Son Jesus, the Savior you sent for us to make us right with you. So you look on us and you see us clothed in his righteousness. I pray that you would give us all comfort and encouragement in that gospel. Thank you for all that you've given us. And in all that we do, I pray that we do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.